Hi everyone, it's Joe here from Lawn Solutions Australia and welcome to this episode of Turf Talk where I'm joined by the Managing Director of Anko Turf, Ryan Cotter. Ryan, how are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks Joe.
That's good. Now, Anko Turf, so we've had a couple of turf farms on this podcast so far, or turf farming people, turf farming directors, turf farming owners. What's Anko Turf? Where are they? What kind of markets do they service? What kind of size are they farming? What's the business all about?
So Anko Turf, based out in Victoria, so pretty well Victoria-wide now that we service. Business started in 1977, so we've been going a long time. So I think we're into our 47th year now.
Wow.
So we service anywhere from Metro Melbourne right down Geelong, Bellarine Peninsula. We go down to sort of as far down as Warrnambool, but also go as far up as the Mallee region now, and also down into the Gippsland regions of Victoria. So we do go far and wide in Victoria now. That's probably changed a lot since COVID. So the need for us to service those other areas grew during that COVID period.
Yeah.
So it sort of just evolved, and we've gradually expanded into our delivery regions around Victoria.
So to assist with that change going far and wide, just while we're talking about that, you've had to build some farms around the place, haven't you? You can't just service straight out of the original farm.
Yeah, we have. So roughly 7 years ago now, we bought a farm in Swan Hill northeast of Swan Hill in Warrnine South.
Yep.
So it's a 1,300-acre farm up there, which was an ex-cropping farm, and we came across that. I actually found that in the Weekly Times, of all places. So I saw it there down the bottom in the Weekly Times in the real estate section. I thought, geez, that it had the irrigation infrastructure on it. I thought, geez, that might make a good farm. And we went up. My dad actually came with me at the time. We went up, had a look, did some soil tests, took samples on the day, walked, spent the day there. Got them tested and ticked the boxes, and we pretty much put an offer in 7 days later.
Way you go.
And, got the farm pretty well after two weeks after we saw it. So it was a pretty quick purchase, and, it gets its water direct from the Murray.
Yeah.
So we have a piped system up there. So it's all piped directly to the farm. We just needed a property where we could produce turf year round.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So we were buying in around $1 million worth of turf a year out of New South Wales during that winter and early spring seasons.
Just because your other farms are Clyde and also
– And Torquay. We've got two farms down in Victoria already.
And couldn't produce warm season turf.
No, that winter period, those farms were originally purchased for cool season production before the Millennium Drought. It was hampering us to be able to grow and expand our business.
Yeah, right.
Because there's only so much you can buy in and secure, and we needed to have that ability just to grow our own and get it to market.
There's a massive difference in climate between there and your other farms?
Yeah, huge.
Is it?
Yeah. So Swan Hill, the locals up there call it the Mediterranean of the Southern Hemisphere, which it is. They do get a hell of a lot of days of sunlight. And as we all know in our game, light intensity is so important for warm season production.
Yeah.
So you don't get those dark, grey, gloomy days like you do down in sort of Southern Victoria, like Southern Victoria.
It's really funny you say that. I was there in winter last year at 9 o'clock in the morning. It was about 7 degrees. It was dark. It was gloomy. It was raining. It was probably the coldest I've ever been in my life.
You can see why Victorians love to come out of that winter period and that grand final AFL. When the weather starts to change, we jump out of our skin because we've had enough of the doldrums of the cold winters.
I get it. So it's a big business now. I mean, it probably always was a big business, but it'd be one of the oldest turf farms in Australia now, wouldn't it? Or Victoria?
Second oldest in Victoria.
Second oldest.
So Strathair, they started before we did.
Yeah.
My father started the business up along with then a business partner, John Anderson.
Yep.
So they started up. They actually worked at FH Brunnings, a seed company in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And they joined together and started the business up in the banks of the Barwon River in Newtown in Geelong.
Right.
And that's where it all started from there.
And that's Anderson Cotter, A-N-C-O-N-K.
Yeah, that's how the name came about.
Yeah. So they started farming cool season turf in the late 70s.
Yep.
Then yeah. On the banks of Geelong.
Yeah. All our market up till probably when the Millennium Drought started to hit and then we had to change over was all based around cool season varieties in Victoria.
Fescue mainly?
Or? Fine fescues, blues and tall fescue. Yep. So they originally started with fine fescues and bluegrasses.
Yep.
And then the next progression was tall fescues. They went to that was considered the game changer for home lawns and things like that. So they changed to that. I think late 80s, early 90s, and then we hit the drought era, and that's when sort of things started to really change, and we started to have to go towards your couches and your kaikus and things like that.
Yeah,
and Victoria was a very big couch kaiku market. Yeah. During that changeover that transition period. Yeah.
Prior to that, though, you wouldn't get a warm season lawn in Melbourne around then, would you?
No. It didn't really exist unless you're going to a pretty progressive golf course and maybe the sandbelt that might have had some native couches growing.
Yeah, okay.
But then they would have had some fine fescues and things like that growing through their fairways as well. So, you wouldn't have had those straight couches or kike markets back then.
So it was always cool season. That's all you guys ever farmed. And then early, mid-2000s, the Millennium Drought, as they call it, came through. And were you in the business at that time?
Yeah, so I started in 2005.
Right.
Same time Bruce Stevens came on board with Anchor when John Anderson actually had retired and got out of the business. So I started then. I'd been working on and off on the farm. You know, much like yourself, we grew up on farms, so you're working on them all the time anyway as a kid. But that's when I'd finished school. I dabbled at uni for 6 months. Went and studied horticulture at Burnley College, but I spent most of my time at the Rising Sun Hotel. So I dropped out after 6 months. And in hindsight, I probably should have had 12 months off anyway, just to go and work. And so then I just started working for 6 months then, after that period, after school. And then decided, I've got to do something. So I went back and studied business marketing. Did that, got qualified, and then came into the business full time and just sort of started working on the farm. I managed a farm for a period of time at our site at Cranbourne West.
Yeah.
And then, slowly just sort of transitioned into the office and did different roles. So experienced the logistics side of things, the admin side of things. So I've had I've dabbled in all aspects of our business.
Yeah.
So it's been a good learning curve.
And growing up, everyone's probably a little bit different. We all sort of had a similar upbringing, but all a bit different. Did you have a vested interest in turf when you were a kid, or was sort of just something your dad did and you just played footy and mucked around on the side?
I wouldn't say I did. No, I enjoyed the, probably the tractor side, the work.
Yeah.
That side of things.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I had a vested interest in the turf. Like I knew what green stuff was.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that it was definitive.
It's different. You talk to some, like I know we'll have another episode coming up soon with Josh Muscat, and I know the Muscat family, they farm in Windsor, and the kids, since they can walk, a turf. But yeah. I'm probably a little bit similar to you where we knew it was there. We knew it existed. We did bits and pieces there, but it wasn't until we got a little bit older that we realised the depth of the industry. So
exactly.
And you had a bit of a baptism of fire from coming to just working the business to actually essentially running the business, didn't you? That happened.
Yeah, well and truly.
Quite a young age for you.
Yeah, I was only 26 at the time. So my father, him and my mum were travelling a lot during the off seasons. In terms of the winter time down in Melbourne. And so they would go away over in Europe a lot.
Yeah.
But this one time that he actually suffered a major stroke when he was in south of France in Marseille. Luckily my mum picked up that he wasn't right straight away.
Yeah.
So he can pretty well thank her for the reason that he's still alive. But got him to the hospital really fast, got assessed, and thankfully – the leading professor in the world is based at the Marseille Hospital. in terms of stroke.
Yeah.
So he was very, very lucky. He did things that in Australia they wouldn't have done.
Wow. Okay.
He's since found out. So that's pretty well the reason that he's still alive today. So he was over there for 12 weeks afterwards.
Wow.
So a long time. So it took a long time to recover.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was definitely thrown into the deep end. And my sister Sasha, who's my business partner, we were I wasn't at that stage where I was ready to run a business but we were lucky. We had really good long-term staff around us that helped steer the ship. Mm-hmm. And we lent on them a lot.
Yeah.
So they were fantastic to get us through that period of time. And it was a big learning curve.
26 is not old.
It's very young.
Yeah.
Especially when you're not thinking, I was still playing footy. I wasn't thinking about running a business. I was happy just going to work and doing those things.
Yeah.
And then going home and switching off. But we were definitely thrown in the deep end.
And it's not just running a business, it's a business of considerable size, and turf businesses are pretty unique. You're not just doing one thing, your logistics, your sales, your marketing, your agriculture, your everything. So at the time, how many staff were at Anko at a time like that?
At that time, we were around 28.
Yeah,
wow. With, what do we have, 3 growing locations. So we didn't have Swan Hill at that time, but we had Torquay, we had our site at Cranbourne, and then we had a couple of other sites out of Clyde.
Yeah.
So we were scattered all over. It was a big logistical challenge, that was for sure, to get your head around.
And at 26, but not only the changing in the business, your old boy was crook too. Mm. Like, there's a lot to absorb then. So what was that sort of 12-week sort of onwards period like for you?
It was very stressful because at the same time I had a 2 and pretty well a newborn, 2-year-old and a newborn.
Okay.
So it was pretty unique.
Just keep hitting it on.
Yeah, just keep hitting it on. It was very unique, very stressful, but we got through it. We were lucky. Our staff were fantastic, especially our older senior guys.
Yeah.
They didn't need, they don't need managing. Yeah. They just got in and got the job done and helped sort of make decisions that needed to be made that were important for the business, even if we weren't there to be able to make those decisions. Yeah. So we were very lucky during that period of time.
And your dad's still going good now, isn't he?
He's great. Yeah, he's no worries at all. He's completely retired out of the business. Yeah. He has nothing to do with it anymore.
Yeah.
And I think he likes it that way. He really actually has no interest at all. It's quite funny. Yeah. He's gone complete full circle.
Yeah.
Doesn't
pop in on the weekend and make sure everything's all right.
No, occasionally I can get him to do some cultivation work.
Yeah.
To do some, paddock plantings and stuff, but that's very rare because he's usually on the golf course. That's his number one hobby.
I don't blame him.
So he's usually playing golf probably 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Yep. So he's loving life.
Oh, it's quite the story. I remember hearing it for the first time and just thinking back to, wasn't that long ago, but I was 26 and I'd be battling to do what you guys did. So it's a credit to you, Sasha, and the entire team, mate. It's a pretty big thing to be thrown on a 26-year-old, not just to have a pretty serious health scare with your dad, but to say, here's a massive business with 30 staff, do your best.
it was pretty much like that. But, you look back on it now, you think, it was a big challenge. But it's just one of those things. Sometimes you just got to get in there and get it done.
Yeah, that's right.
Thankfully it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah,
Ben, we're still here.
He's still going well. So, Anko itself, so retail focused, would you say?
Yeah, we are retail focused, so direct to end user.
Yeah. Yep.
We've been ever since we really started. So, it equates to about 55% of our business.
Okay. Yeah.
We moved heavily online to help with that too during the COVID period.
Yeah.
Don't quote me here, but I reckon we were one of the first to go fully offer online sales.
Yeah,
okay. Across Australia in the turf game. Mm-hmm. So we did that. We launched that probably 6 months prior to COVID hitting,
mm-hmm.
and it did wonders for us during that COVID period.
Timed it well.
Yeah, we did time it really well. So we were very fortunate in that regard. And I was very hesitant about when who's going to buy turf online?
Yeah.
Thinking, really? This is something you've got to touch, you've got to feel.
Yeah.
So it's not something I thought would have taken off, but the market's different now. Mm-hmm. People are different. We find people are buying product 1-2 in the morning. It's quite strange. Like we'll come in and there'll be a bucket load of orders that we've received overnight.
Yeah.
So it's just an ever-changing market.
Yeah.
It's quite unique.
Just would have boomed through COVID as well, people sitting at home.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. We were just keeping our heads above water, much like all the turf guys. We weren't prepared for it. No one was.
Yeah.
So having excess stock or having more stock available was a big challenge.
Yeah.
we were lucky. We just sold out of everything we had during those years, and just trying to expand during that period was a real challenge. Just getting the people there, the staff there, and you know, dealing with, especially in Victoria, everyone knows what Melbourne was like during that period. So dealing with you know, micromanaging guys, making sure that they're all isolated and working on their own without not working in groups and things like that. That was a big challenge in that period.
So what did that look like for a turf business? Because just for people that don't know, you could probably work it out yourself, but through COVID, everyone's stuck at home. A lot of people spent money on home improvements and turf was a home improvement. The turf industry essentially boomed through COVID. And turf's not something you can just put more people on in the factory and make more of it. You got to wait for it to grow. So stock was a real issue. But how did you manage it from a stock point of view, but also how did you manage with, I'm guessing at that time you were 45 plus staff. How did you manage that with such serious lockdown rules?
Well, we were only around 30 staff at that period of time. So we were lucky that we had Swan Hill was our saving grace.
Yeah.
So we had stock up there ready to go. So thankfully we were able to pull on that, on that stock. But, yeah, it was a big challenge during that period of time. We looked at buying a little bit in, but then we more stock had grown on. So we managed to get through it reasonably well. Probably the biggest challenge was getting product to people because we couldn't actually get enough out. So because customers couldn't actually come to us to pick up.
Yeah, right.
Everything had to be delivered.
Yeah.
So it was more the fact that how do we get more product to people. So that was our biggest challenge logistically.
Truck space. It was a funny one. Everyone at the start of COVID when the Prime Minister first announced, I think it was March of 2020 or something, that this is all happening, the first thing you thought about was how can I get rid of my trucks? How can I get rid of this? How can I get rid of that?
And
the opposite happened.
Yeah, I know.
It was a scary sort of thing. And away from retail a little bit too, Anko's got quite a name in the race track industry.
Yeah, it has had a long history with the racing industry in Victoria. And we have done a project over in South Australia before as well at Gawler. But, we've really been probably been our biggest string to our business over the journey. So we've done the likes of the Caulfield Racetrack numerous times, Flemington, also Mornington. Multiple other regional tracks. Did Seymour not that long ago, but unfortunately they got affected by floods, and so they've been hit with a few things since then. But we've had a long history with the racing game.
And a track like Flemington, biggest race courses in Australia, one of the biggest in the world. What kind of grass do they take? Are they straight ryegrass? Are they
or? No? So. In Victoria, they generally put a straight kike down.
Yeah.
But then probably 6 weeks, 8 weeks after it's been down on the track, they will go in and oversell it with rye. That's when they put in their rye grasses.
Yeah.
So the main reason they do that, their biggest issue is power annua in Victoria. Mm-hmm. So they don't want that in their racetrack. So if they can keep it pure for as long as they can before they put rye grass in.
Yeah.
So then it gives them an ability to be able to control and get on top of their winter grass and make sure that there's none in the track.
And were you turf the entire course at one time, were you?
Or generally, so the likes of Flemington, when we did that, I was actually on the ground doing the irrigation for that project at the time. It was from we started, started and just worked our way through until it was finished. And that was, and we did the lawns and everything on that project.
Right.
And I think it totaled around 120,000 square metres all up in kike that was supplied for the...
In small rolls,
yeah.
Okay. 120,000 bits of turf.
Yeah. The laying crew were laying, I think their biggest day was around 7,000 to 8,000 square metres.
Wow.
They laid in a day.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward laying, obviously, on a project like that.
Still.
But it was a big effort.
It's a cool string to have in the boat. It'd be the grass supplier of it. If a course like Flemington.
And, yeah, it is. It's good.
And how often will they redo a course like that? Is that something that happens regularly?
No, it's generally not. So
be good if it did.
The clubs themselves reckon that a racetrack due to, the infiltration rates and things like that, after about 10 years, they probably need to look at resurfacing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work out on that schedule.
And do you have to keep grass for them? Is that part of the deal? I know some sporting fields, farms have to keep a set amount manicured to a certain spec for a sport. Is the same thing with racetracks?
No, not until we get the contract.
Yeah,
So they'll probably give us a contract 18 months out.
Yeah, right.
And that's when we start to get their needs ready.
Yep. Yeah. And And Enco today, so what? So you've come full circle from fine fescues and tall fescues and the like back in the 70s and 80s. What's the Enco business look like today in terms of varieties?
Yep.
What's sort of your main grasses you guys specialise in now?
So obviously Sir Walter DNA Certified's a big one.
Yep.
We still grow a lot of Eureka Kaiku into the Victorian market. Mm-hmm. Tiff Tough, obviously now Hybrid Bermuda. We're really excited about Tiff Tough in Victoria.
Yep.
We were big growers of Santa Ana Cooch yes. for a long time.
Yeah.
We've phased that out because we've finally found a grass that can replace Santa Ana in Victoria.
Yeah. Okay.
Santa Ana was a great grass in Melbourne for a long, long time, but Tiff Tough genuinely is a better variety.
In what ways? What do you see difference?
Management-wise for the end user,
yeah.
A lot easier. It's more bulletproof.
Yeah.
So it does have better winter colour.
Yeah.
Drought tolerance obviously is a major one. You can leave it unirrigated and the stuff still looks good.
Yeah.
It's really just the maintenance side of things is less inputs in terms of nitrogen as well compared to what Santa Ana is.
Uh-huh.
Santa Ana, you do have to know what you're doing to make it look really schmick.
Yeah.
Whereas Tiff Tough, you can be a novice and still have a good look.
You can treat it pretty mean, can't you? Yeah.
It's often better. If you treat that stuff mean, I find it looks better.
Yeah.
So it's a great grass.
So what are some of the things you do? All the grass you just mentioned then that Enco sell now are all warm. So you still sell a little bit of cool season.
Yeah. So we still also sell RTF tall fescue.
Yeah.
And that generally goes around the Ballarat, Macedon region.
Yeah, okay.
Around Victoria.
Yeah.
So those areas in winter are very cold. As you've been there before, you know how cold it gets.
Yeah.
So those there's still a niche market for those varieties in that region.
Yeah. Mm. And how do you manage growing warm season grass, because you produce you still obviously Swan Hills answered a lot of issues for you, but you still produce warm season grasses on your other southern farms.
Yep.
What do you do to mitigate the effects of a cold winter on warm season? Because you can still harvest all year round there, can't you?
You can if the winter's been favourable and dry enough. Yeah. So we use a lot of obviously pigments, colorants, Colorguard.
Yeah.
So we use a lot of that. To help keep colour into the plant.
Do you use blanket and that sort of thing, do you?
We don't use any blanket. We've actually trialled some liquid charcoal before too.
Okay.
With pretty good success.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting seeing a black paddock.
Yeah.
But what we found is it actually holds the heat in the plant and it stops the frost settling on it.
Liquid charcoal. I was talking to someone yesterday who was using black line marking paint diluted down.
Yeah.
But liquid charcoal, right.
So it was very interesting and it actually proved to be – the only issue is, though, you've got to wait for it to wash off the leaf. You can't just mow it off. So otherwise you're going to be sending out black turf. So you can't use that knowing that you're going to be needing to harvest it. You're probably going to be using it to grow it in to make sure you've got stock on the other side.
You've got a paddock at 60%. You know it's not going to be ready.
Yeah.
Just liquid charcoal.
Exactly.
Liquid charcoal.
Yeah.
It would scare someone with black turf turning up, I'd imagine. But just stepping away from turf a little bit, you mentioned before when you took over the business, you had a couple of young kids.
Mm-hmm.
What's life look like for Ryan Cotter at the moment? Outside of work.
Yeah, it's still pretty busy. It's running, it's really helping my wife run our two children around. So we've got a daughter, Eileen. She's just turned 15 and she's massively into aerobics. So she does that at a national level.
Yeah.
She actually competed not long ago at the nationals and her duo, they actually won so they're Australian champions. So that's pretty cool. So that's pretty good. So I'm very proud of her.
Yeah.
And our son, he's 13, but he's massively into – he plays representative basketball at Dandenong for the Dandenong Rangers down in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And he's massively into his footy too. So
cool.
They're my hobbies outside of work these days.
Traveling around watching them,
yeah. Which, it's good fun.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
And you're a mad Geelong fan?
Wouldn't say I'm mad. Yeah. I'm passionate. Yeah, but no, I wouldn't say mad
because I tread very carefully Victorians because you're a lot different with sport than what we are. You tend to either talk to someone and they are just an absolute diehard and they absolutely love it, or they don't like it because everyone else loves it so much. But you sit somewhere in the middle, probably.
Yeah, probably in the middle. I would say when we were in our premiership era, when we won our first one back in, what was it 2007? In a long time. I was a nervous wreck then, trying to watching them, and I didn't like anyone around me, so I'd stay home and watch it by myself,
right?
Just with my wife and it was just my daughter at that stage. But yeah, I would say I've mellowed, mate, a lot since then. It's probably my son now; he gets more worked up.
Do you go to the footy?
We don't go to many games. We went to was at the semi-final last year against the Pies.
Right.
And went with my brother-in-law and my two nephews.
Yeah.
And that was interesting because the Cats got up that night.
And they're Pies fans?
They're Pies fans. Okay. So yeah. That was, yeah, that was, but that was a great game.
You get feral you lot too.
Yeah, or the, like the Collingwood supporters definitely do.
No comment. So you got a couple of hobby cattle and that sort of thing.
We dabbled in a few Hereford for a period of time.
Play cowboy.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, no, I really enjoy it actually. And it's sort of in our, it's in our bloodline really. So my grandparents or my uncle was a dairy farmer and so was my grandfather.
Yeah.
So we've it's been in our family for a long time dealing with cattle. But we're in the we've downsized. We're moving back down into suburbia. Right. So off some land now. So it's so
the cattle room's gone. Over.
Yeah. They're done and dusted.
Very good. Well, it's I'm sure everyone that listened to this will appreciate that. It's a pretty cool story. And it's a credit to all of you for being not only in business so long, but for handling some pretty steep humps and bumps along the way and to come out the other side bigger and better than ever. So what do you see sort of a final thing here is what's Anko's direction look like over the next 3, 5, 10 years? Is it a keep on going how we're going? Is it get bigger, get smaller? Is what sort of the plan look like for Anko?
Nah, we've got some pretty lofty dreams to expand and keep growing down in Victoria. So now Sasha and I, my sister is my business partner. We want to expand the business and grow it. So we've acquired a new property down in Lang Lang. Where we'll be setting up our head base moving forward. So our current farms in Clyde, they are owned by our family and they've sold them. So Sasha and I, we've had to buy the Lang Lang site and we've bought a site that we bought the Swan Hill site. So we'll keep growing in the Geelong region down in Torquay where we lease that farm.
Yeah.
Keep expanding our farm at Swan Hill, but also, growing our market share. Mm-hmm. So, we've got big dreams. I'm still only 40, so... You never know. My kids might want to get involved one day or they may not. But, I've still got probably 15, 20 years of good work left in me. Yeah,
Surely. Turf farmers don't stop, do they? Have they been a bit like you where they kind of know it exists or are they like?
Probably not because they didn't grow up on a turf farm.
Yeah.
So we lived on one for only about 5 years when they were young.
Yeah.
So, and then we moved off it. So they probably not the same as what I probably knew.
Yeah.
Growing up because I grew up on the farm until I was 16.
Yeah. Right.
And then we moved into sort of suburbia.
Yeah.
A fair bit different childhood to mine.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah, it will be.
But like I said before, it's a great story. It's a credit to you all, and I think everyone's going to appreciate listening to that. So thanks for coming on and sharing it.
No worries. Cheers, Joe.